I am Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I'm drinking coffee out of a mug right now, a mug that I bought in 1995 in Greece, a Greek mug. I'm drinking a Greek mug. You know what a Greek mug is? It looks a lot like an American mug, except for that it's made out of moussaka. Other than that, you wouldn't even know the difference. I'm having coffee. It's midday. What am I doing a podcast midday on a Monday? That's insane. Here's what I'm doing. I'm taking part of the day off is what's happening. Man, I have been busy. And I told Jeff, I was like, I need to come in late, man. I am just, woo. I was in Costa Mesa working a couple weeks ago. This last weekend, spoke in San Francisco. Next day, taught a cooking class. This coming weekend, I'm working both days. I'm tired and a bit overscheduled. Now, you may be asking yourself, Sid, if you're so tired and overscheduled and you're home midday, why do the podcast then? Why do the podcast? I'll tell you why. Because I love the podcast. I'm passionate about the podcast. Here's what depresses me. This is what's depressing. If I am so busy that the stuff that I love the best I can't do, that makes me feel very depressed. If I can't be with my family, if I can't do the podcast videos, if that stuff goes, then I feel like all is lost. That's the stuff that I will make little adjustments wherever possible. In those areas are sacred. I'll make little adjustments in other areas like work, like coming in late. I'm not shirking my responsibilities. I do a good job. I'm getting the work done, but and obviously because I'm working a lot. And so it's like, you know what? This gives. This stuff, the podcast, this doesn't give. Unless I absolutely, you know, if that's just what it is, which I hope is rare. And of course, if it was like so crazy at work that I couldn't do the podcast, fine. I have a job. I have to have that job. But at the same time, man, it's depressing to me if I don't have anything else besides the work. And I like my job. I'm just saying, if I don't have anything else, that's when I get depressed. And that affects my family and everything else. You guys know where I stand on that. It's passion. It's passion. You think your so-called problem is food? Get some passion. Find something you're passionate about. Put your attention in a place that inspires you and keeps you engaged in action, and see how that affects the other habits that that you want to focus on, instead of finding something that you love and want to do all the time. You may not be able to, but you want to, right? Do you guys know where the word passion comes from? It comes from the Latin pati, I think it's called. And I'm really not trying to sound smarter than I am, because I'm not that smart. I looked it up. The root of passion, suffering. The root of passion. So compassion is with suffering, but passion is suffering. Isn't that weird? Something we're passionate about. And it's sort of like, you know, this kind of like pain thing that we want to do so bad. We've got to like, we're passionate about it. We want to do it, but there's pain associated with it. It's very complex, very complex. It's rough in the modern world because we feel entitled. Modern world humans, we're entitled. We feel entitled to not suffer. We don't want to feel any suffering. That's off the table, and yet we sort of feel the lack of passion in our lives. We go to work and we go home and we have our routines and we kind of get through life. And there's something in us that goes, there's something I want more. This is it. Is this it? If you ever ask yourself this question, is this it? Probably not. It doesn't have to be, right? It can be something that you can devote some time to find something that you love and that you're passionate about. You may not even know what that is at this point, but I think there's power in the looking. That's what I think. There's power in the looking. Man, there's a lot going on, and I'm not even going to talk about the San Francisco Veg Fest. It was fine. It's fine. You know, I'm tired, you guys. I'm drinking coffee out of a Greek mug. Thank you to everybody who is Patreoning and reviewing. Okay? There you go. Thank you. You remember the title of this episode is ITYS. You know what it stands for? I told you so. I told you so. Here's what I told you so about. Remember a few episodes ago, and you'd think that I would remember and know which episode I'm talking about, and I don't. I'm not going back. The past is the past. But remember the episode where I said my desire, and I didn't necessarily have an answer, but I had a desire, and that was that I can understand how people think like politicians. They go, I don't care what they do morally in their own lives as long as their policies are in line with me. That's their business. I don't care. And I understand that. I actually understand that. But at the same time, I said in that episode, that unnumbered episode, that I have a desire that politicians, especially in this day and age where everything is so out there in terms of information and social media and everything else, that they would understand that the examples they set even in their lives, personal lives, do affect us. What you're seeing in this last crazy week of the shooting at the synagogue, of the sending of the pipe bombs to various people, is how I see this. I just want you to understand, and I'm going to say I told you so. And look, do I get pleasure from I told you so? Yeah, a little bit. 74% pleasure out of I told you so. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. I have a very huge problem with somebody who goes, I didn't do it. I didn't actually do it. They did it. As if there's no effect. I've seen this in the animal world. It's like, I just eat it. I didn't do it. If I hire somebody to steal a car, I'm responsible for stealing a car. Yes? Okay, good. If I say I don't condone violence, but my words inspire the douchiest of our society to think that it's somehow okay because of the words I say, there are people, and always will be and always have been, that blindly follow. This is on both sides of the political spectrum and in every regard, even apolitically. This is a response of a certain percentage of our population and species that will just follow leaders as what they do. They don't think for themselves. They just go, whatever you do. This is why people join cults. It's exactly why there's a psychology where you just kind of let your power over to somebody else and go, man, whatever you, I trust you. You're the Messiah or whatever the fuck is crazy, right? But they're those, and they are led, and they will do things that for most of us are unthinkable, like to most people. And I believe this, and I could be totally naive. I've said this before, but I believe overwhelmingly most people are humane, compassionate with suffering, understand the human plight regardless of color, your skin, religion, everything else. We have a basic level of decency and consideration. But we have to understand that there are portions of our population, I'm hoping this are the smallest, that are actually in a way unthinking. They are blindly following. This is how religion thrives financially, and most of it does, is because there are people who do not question. And if they question, it's sort of like a little bit, but when push comes to shove, they're still the, I don't even want to say sheep because I think sheep, that's insulting to sheep. It's worse because they have the capacity to question and think independently. They're not physically altered. You know, they have the ability, they have the capacity to act independently, and they don't, and that makes it even worse in my opinion. So it's easy to say that it's not the president's fault because he didn't do it's the crazy person. It's the crazy person with the pipe bombs. That has nothing to do with the president. He says the words, I don't condone violence. And it's not fair if we say it's his fault because he didn't send the things and put the things in the envelope. Here's the thing. It's easy to say that. It's easy to say it's not his fault, that it's solely the fault of the person who committed the crime. But we don't do easy here, do we? We don't do easy here. We do not do the surface gut response of just, yeah, it's not his fault. He didn't tell the guy to do the thing. It's not his fault at all. We don't do that, do we? Is it Trump's fault that these things happened? Yes, it is his fault that these things happened. Why? Because whether we like it or not, the reality of any social structure and any governmental structure and any company is that it is led by the top down. The environment, a corporate environment, is led by what the CEO, she or he does. The government, what the top president does, or prime minister, or whatever you have in your country. It is the environment is set from the top down. The people who do not think about stuff look and say, well, this must be okay. Those of us who think independently don't need the top down. We will behave in ways in line with our own values and ethics, regardless of what the top down does, regardless of what the top does. That's how people can exist and be ethical and compassionate, even with, you know, somebody at the top that's not that way, because we don't need that. Nobody's setting the tone for our lives except for us. We're setting the tone for our lives. But for those that are unthinkable and do the unthinkable, rather, and those that are unthinking, they do act in the context of an environment that is set by those at the top. That is just the way that it is and probably always will be. It's just how it is. So while it's easy to say, it's not his fault, it is his fault. It is his fault. If you are in a position where you know, regardless, if you're in a position to put it this way, if you're in a position, not that you told somebody to do this exact thing, or that you paid somebody to do this exact thing, or that you suggested specifically somebody do this horrible, horrific act, but if you know you are in a position where your words can inspire actions that are unthinkable, here's what you do. You watch your fucking words.
That you hear don't come from my head. How decide never to let weakness rule me. And send these sentences to you. They are sublime with half-truths, made to be bigger than they ever. This is drastic. So drastic. Sometimes I feel so ripped apart. Sometimes I feel so hard. Sometimes I feel so hard. Sometimes I feel so hard.